It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we are going to talk with Rebecca Miller. Rebecca Miller is a filmmaker. Her new film, Maggie's Plan, is out in theaters this weekend. Stars Greta Gerwig, Ethan Hawke, Julianne Moore. Rebecca Miller is Arthur Miller's daughter. She is quite a career herself working in film. We'll talk with Rebecca Miller coming up at the big table at 8 o'clock. Well, the big news out of this week is that Chicago is losing population. Almost 3,000 people left Chicago, and we were one of the only big cities in America that didn't gain population. But the hidden story here is that this is nothing new. We've been steadily declining over the past few years. What's making people leave the Windy City? Is it the economy, violence, transportation issues, the sports teams? Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council, a nonprofit that helps governments and businesses and communities work together to tackle Chicago area planning and development challenges. Mary Sue, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Justin.
So when you see that come out this week, that we're losing population and the fervor around it, at the MPC, what's the thought? I mean, this is something you guys have seen coming, and it is something that Chicago has experienced in the last couple of years.
It is something that's been creeping up on us, and I think Chicagoans deal with some of the symptoms individually, but perhaps the census numbers putting us dead last among the top 20 cities is a wake-up call, and it's sparking conversation that, frankly, we just need to have. We have so many assets, and the downtown is thriving, attracting some new companies, technology-based companies. Mm-hmm. There's some successes that we should focus on, but the net result, 3,000 less people in the city, 6,000 less in the region, 22,000 less in Illinois, bottom of the list across the board. So we 20th. Absolutely have to pick that apart and figure it out.
That's amazing. I did not know the stat that they were 20th, dead last in terms of major American cities. Well, I mean, from your vantage point, from your seat, what is the reason? I mean, is there one thing, or is it sort of death by 1,000 cuts here?
Well, the trend is not just in the last year. This loss of 3,000 residents of Chicago or 6,000 in our region, that's a snapshot of 2014 to 2015. Mm-hmm. And if you look back over a decade, take us back to 2005, we have lost a lot of people in that those years that spanned the recession. So from 2005 to 2010, we lost 54,000 people. It's been a little better news since 2010. So these last 5 years, we've gained 23,000, but net loss. So let's not, you know, kind of hold us, grasp at straws and say, oh, well, right. It's trending. We're not saving the middle class and giving them a reason to stay. We have challenges that some of our counterpart cities don't have. And I think the answer is complicated, but we've got the energy and the leadership, I think, to put those pieces together. For example, our transit network is, when you think about where people want to live, whether you're talking millennials or young families or senior citizens, it brings convenience and accessibility, mm-hmm. vibrancy to neighborhoods, walkable destinations. And yet we've actually been losing population even by transit. So there's a lot of things we can change.
Because and maybe a good sort of route to sort of go on this conversation is taking apart some of those old wives' tales, if you will, about Chicago and what, you know, people come here for or what's good. Like, for instance, transportation. I've always known Chicago to be world class when it comes to the transport. Now obviously infrastructure and keeping that up has ebbed and flowed over the years. But our public transit system, our bus grid, even our Metra trains is better than some of the cities that are on that same list that we are dead last in. So it's not necessarily that people can't get to and from in this city.
Well, I think it's more of a mixed picture than that. We're the third biggest city, but we do have the second biggest transit system. So, yeah, chalk up a victory for us, but we've been neglecting it. So when we look at New York City, they have been investing much more locally, much more as a state, both in maintaining what they've got and then expanding services, because population shifts and you want to give people transit choices really no matter where they live. Today, people talk about a suburb-to-suburb commute. Very difficult to use transit between that. The reverse commute is tough. And so it's not just neighborhoods that are struggling economically where the development isn't happening hubbed around transit. Even in neighborhoods that you would expect to be growing near transit, places like Lincoln Square, Lincoln Park, they're losing population near transit too. So one of the positive changes that the city of Chicago did just last fall was to provide some new rewards for investors and developers to build more intensive projects right around transit, because that's where the value is.
Yeah, but the sort of juxtaposition of that is that you read in the newspaper, you read stories about, you know, gentrification. Some of these neighborhoods, you know, the property that's near transportation, the rents are going through the roof. So how does the city make sure that it's not just, you know, sort of richer or upper class people that are living close to transportation and being a part of the city of Chicago?
Very fair question. And there's a lot of fear around this issue. Which is one of the reasons why the Metropolitan Planning Council built a Grow Chicago calculator to help communities zoom in on their portion of the city and really see what the difference would be if you build something that's two stories or three stories versus something that's 6 to 8 stories. Mm-hmm. And what the difference means is actually it can bring the amenities, the shopping and the other assets that
you want. If you build
a bigger
building, you have the retail on the bottom, things like that.
You have demand. And the car ownership is at 50% or less in so many communities. So these fears, legitimate fears, turn out to not be borne out. And when you help people go through that process of seeing, well, I want to have a walkable community and I want retail nearby, but I don't want to have any development, mm-hmm. Be increased in my area, you realize that they're actually kind of arguing against themselves. The other issue you brought up is affordability. And it turns out the census divides the city into 77 community areas. So these are pretty small areas, smaller even than wards, because we have 50 wards. Mm-hmm. Of those 77, only 9 have experienced gentrification over the last decade, but 45 of them have experienced deepening poverty. So that's not to dismiss gentrification. It's just not the main story that's being written in Chicago. The main story is about poverty and how we address that.
Now, I mean, obviously, poverty is going to lead us to a conversation about the economy and jobs. I mean, could we look into that area to why people are leaving here? Because it used to be that Chicagoans would come from the university. I mean, people from all over the Midwest, when the Big Ten would move to Chicago because they would get their first job or they get the opportunity to work here in Chicago, and they'd stay and they'd clamp down and they sort of have roots here in Chicago. Is that still happening? Are we seeing people come to Chicago for jobs? Are jobs readily available for not only people coming out from universities, but for people who are maybe middle class or below?
It is something to be proud of that we have higher educational attainment stats in Chicago than most Midwestern places. So there's a lot of college educated people here, and that's both those that we graduate right here in that stay, but also across the Great Lakes, across the Midwest, we're a magnet. People want to come here for job opportunities right after they graduate. A big plus. They might settle in, you know, some of the trendier neighborhoods, but then life moves on and you want to advance in your career. You might be settling down, starting a family, and thinking about issues of advancement, home value, school quality, mm-hmm. public safety. And that's where things are starting to break apart. And this is not a race-divided phenomenon. You see an exodus of the middle-class African-American. You see a loss of white young professionals. And what we have to be concerned about is creating opportunity. These tech companies that want to be downtown, that's terrific. But they need to have, and our service economy and our anchor institutions like hospitals all need to have, a range of workers by skill and by experience. And so we have to be a city for all,
right,
building around our transit system, being concerned about divisions by race and class. Those are all things that sometimes we have perhaps a separate conversation. You got the economic development pros in this corner, and you got the people who are concerned about isolation and inequality in different corners, but it really is the same issue.
Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. It's a nonprofit that helps governments, businesses, and communities work together. You know what? Let's take a quick break. And we come back, I want to talk about downtown versus the neighborhoods. We haven't talked about that. I also want to talk about, where are these people going? We haven't gotten into that. Mary Sue Barrett, my guest tonight. Stay with us.
Music.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Mary Sue Barrett's here. She's the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. We're talking about why people are leaving Chicago. You know, I'm interested in this concept of common sense. I mean, for us in the, you know, civilians who are just reading the newspaper and watching the 10 o'clock news, we kind of get an understanding that the city is having a serious crime wave. Violence is prevail. I mean, it's everywhere. It's so prevalent. We also notice that Chicago is getting really, really expensive to live. We also know that from a politician's standpoint, from a political standpoint, there's no budget. And we feel like we have, you know, we've lost a little bit of faith in our leaders. Are those the same kind of issues that play out in the numbers that are sort of being brought out of the stuff that we're seeing about people leaving?
I think it is, Justin. The analogy of the Tale of Two Cities, I think, fits here, as well as we can simultaneously celebrate some great things about our city. We're rediscovering our riverfront. There's a lot of excitement about not just downtown, but in the neighborhoods, all of the amenities that Chicago has. And I was looking at a map. My board chair is with Jones Lang LaSalle, a real estate firm, and they showed all the companies that have relocated divisions or headquarters downtown mm-hmm. in the last few years. It's driving our commercial office healthy statistics. So 20 years ago, those arrows would have been in exactly
right.
the opposite direction.
Right.
So those are things to celebrate. There's lots of pluses, our cultural, educational institutions. And yet, a few weeks ago, the New York Times worked with a Kaiser Family Foundation to do a survey that made a big splash in encapsulating the opinions of Chicagoans about how they're feeling. And it is uneasiness. One headline that really struck me was framed this way. It said, Black Chicagoans, isolation, frustration, worry. You know, that's a pretty heavy trio.
Right. Those are the words they're leading with, right?
Absolutely. And it's true that in that poll, 44% of Black respondents said that their neighborhood was not a great place to raise kids, and that was true of only 16% of whites. So there's a confidence game mm-hmm. that's playing out differently. We're losing middle class that are fearful of school quality. It's kind of the lottery game. Your listeners might want to check out our website, which is metroplanning.org. One of my colleagues, Marisa Novarez, just posted a series about the middle class, and it helps you get your arms around the fact that it's you know, spinning the roulette wheel. You know, you're taking a gamble, and when people move, sometimes it's about moving for certainty. So they like all of the things that are here in Chicago, but those pluses are feeling shaky.
We've been told for years here in Chicago that a healthy downtown, a thriving downtown, a downtown that's going to attract tourism and, as we see here on Michigan Avenue, almost has the same, you know, sort of trickle-down effect to the neighborhoods. Is that happening? Are we seeing the same kind of Chicago that we see here on Michigan Avenue playing out, even in some of the more, in Wicker Park, in Bucktown, or, you know, Logan Square, or even some of the neighborhoods, Rogers Park and Auburn Gresham? Like, tell me about that sort of scenario of downtown sort of helping the neighborhoods.
That is true, but it's not enough to stabilize the city and set us back on a path of growth. If we're shrinking our population, you know, from 2.8 now to 2.7 million, at some point we can't afford to pay for all the great things here. And so that can't be all on the back of downtown. The only neighborhoods that added population outside of the central area and the Loop, the South Loop, the West Loop did add population were a cluster of a few neighborhoods near Midway Airport. So immigration fueled higher rates of births in Latino families in these Southwest Side neighborhoods. Those were the only two. Mm. And so some of these attractive communities, again, are losing population. So what we're hearing from people is that they've got dreams that they want to have responded to for their neighborhoods. That's why we're focusing on, you know, if you've got 15,000 vacant lots
right.
in the city of Chicago, this Grow Chicago calculator helps you zoom in and focus on the ones that have the greatest potential. And then you build out from there. So the story, I think, is an uneven one in neighborhoods. I think many communities understand that there is a shared destiny. I want to underline how important that is. In fact, the city of Chicago just in the last few days has moved forward with a proposal to capture more value in the downtown real estate and reserve it in a neighborhood opportunity fund. That kind of linked destiny is, I think, on the right track. But unless we also have growth and opportunity in our neighborhoods, it doesn't add up.
Okay, so right now we're in the final week in the Springfield session. We've had so much made of the fact that we are in a budget stalemate. We have had so much made about our debt, pension debt. Do these kind of stories, do they play into these numbers about people leaving Chicago? The first part of this question is, do people use that in decisions to leaving the politics of the city? And the second, talk about tax, because is Illinois, I'm always confused by this. I'm always confused. Are we taxed enough? Are we not taxed enough? Are we the worst? Are we the best? Like, I feel like, from a citizen of the state of Illinois, how are we taxed?
It depends who you talk to and what statistics they're using, right?
Exactly, right?
Well, to the first part of your question, that are people citing the state budget impasse, our inability to have a budget after all of these months, as something that's made eroding their confidence? You bet. It's a big problem. So you can have this thriving central area and a city that's, in many ways the envy of other places, and yet people would say in the same breath, I'd like to stay, but I can't stay in a place that's, not fixing its infrastructure and doesn't know how it's going to pay for its schools in September. That's a lot of instability,
right,
for people who just want to, live their lives and count on government to work on those kinds
right,
of things.
Right.
So we have a system in Illinois that is unique in this respect. We rely more on property taxes to pay for local services. It's led to many, many governments, many single-purpose governments, and guess what? Confusion on the part
right.
of your average Joe who...
Me.
Yes. Average Justin who
average
says...
Justin, right.
If you live in the suburbs and you have 16 taxing districts, number one, you don't know who to hold accountable. You may be so discouraged you might not vote. We're seeing both of those things happen. And so who's responsible for our roads? Well, it's the state, the tollway, counties, townships in some cases, city, and... When your car hits that pothole and you have a $500 bill, you just want to know
whose fault is it?
Right. So we did an assessment actually of how far behind are we exactly on this transportation infrastructure. You mentioned before it's one of our core strengths historically.
Right.
So what we do is this boom and bust cycle. So we do a big package that lasts for 5 years every 10 years.
Okay.
And so it's very inefficient, and then things end up costing you more down the road. So the price tag is $43 billion over 10 years. Big number, but it turns out that we are paying more in delays and repairs today than we would if we would just...
We just didn't do it this way.
Buck up and invest. And that's both maintenance and enhancements, like,
we're gonna
the red line.
You're going to come back and we're going to talk more about that
part,
because that I feel is the part that I think most people who are listening here want to talk about how they actually, how what we're investing in infrastructure and how we're being taxed. Mary Sue Barrett's the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. Last question, real quick. Where are the people going?
Not one place. If you looked at a map, there are out-migration to all of our surrounding cities and states, and then there's a big blob in Texas because of Texas's job growth. That's been a magnet for a number of Illinoisans.
Okay.
But, there's people who are bleeding out to the communities all in surrounding areas in search of stability and job growth and fewer worries. But I want to end on a positive note, which is that we've got the pieces. We can put them together to grow Chicago.
All right. I like that. I like the positive. We'll continue the conversation. Mary Sue Barrett is the president of the Metropolitan Planning Council. She joined me tonight. Mary Sue, thanks for being here.
Thank you.